This episode of AetherStream is brought to you by Aetherflow Media. We would not be able to create content like this without the support of our amazing patrons.
Hey guys, Tilp here. Just wanted to say thank you for tuning into the AetherStream podcast. We greatly appreciate your support. The next two podcasts are previously recorded. They were from an experimental time, so the audio quality is not quite up to par. And this was also back when Crow Tone was a special guest before he became a full-time host. So sit back, enjoy this podcast, and we should be back to our regular podcasting methods in a couple weeks.
Today I have with me Anki.
What's up?
Yay! And also Aetherflow Media's local lore aficionado, Croatone. Am I saying that right?
Yes, you are.
Okay. And of course, I am Dylan Thorne. And like I said, this is Into the Aether. And welcome back, everybody. I know that we skipped an episode, but unfortunately, some of the hosts got hit by the various different plagues.
Everybody died, but we're okay now.
We're okay now. We're like Hildebrand at the beginning of, A Realm Reborn. Like, you know, we're coming back from the dead, so.
It was just a flesh wound.
It was just a flesh wound. You know, get up, rub some dirt in it, walk it off, all that kind of things.
Yep.
So, what has everybody been up to the past couple of weeks? You know, we've had a lot of things kind of going on. We've had the Final Fantasy XV crossover. We had Hatching Tide. I'm sure that we have some interesting stories from the past few weeks.
Do you want to go first with that, Kim? Like, I'm fine with talking about the crap that I've done, like, the past few weeks, but...
actually, let's let our guests go ahead first.
Yeah, let's... Manners.
Okay. Well, let's see. I did the 15 event, but I actually didn't do it when it went live. I decided to log into 15 first and do the event on their side before I did the one on the 14 side. I had a feeling that the stories were going to connect in some way, and I was right. So it made a lot more sense to me what was going on in 14 when I played the 15 side of things. So I ended up doing both of those in like the same time frame. It was pretty interesting jumping from going back to 15 with the Luminous Engine, and then going back to 14, I'm like, oh man. Like, everything changed graphically. like, oops.
Not quite as shiny, but...
Yeah, they definitely made Garuda look really good in 15. So it's definitely, if anyone has Final Fantasy 15, I'd highly recommend a playthrough of that quest. The fun fact is that that quest is always going to be available. You'll have opportunity to hit that once you hit Chapter 5. On okay. Final Fantasy 15, so definitely worth the playthrough.
Yeah, whereas like the one in 14 is like limited. It's
yeah, 14 is limited. You definitely got to get that done as soon as you can. But 15 is always there, so you always get to see that really nice Luminous Engine Garuda. Yeah. It's really nice. Wow. They did a really good job on her.
Phil kind of jilted. We only get the event until May 27th. And yeah. All you guys who have 15, we're just like, nah, we get to play the whole time. They want. No big. No.
Yeah, but we did get a four-person mount, so
I think it's like the trade-off.
But they already had the four-person mount.
Okay, well, when you put it like that, sure, fine.
Yeah.
Let's see, over the past couple weeks, I have continued prepping for the expansion. I am in the process of trying to level every single one of my crafts to 70.
Yeah.
Nice.
Initially, it was like, oh, it won't be that bad. I just have to get them to 50, and then I can take them through like the Moogle Beast Tribe, and then I can take them through the Namazu. It's not going to be any big deal. Oh my goodness.
Like, do all your crafting classes, they said. It'll be fun, they said.
I have got almost all but one to 50 now. I think the last one that I have that I'm trying to work on getting to 50 is, it's Alchemist. So, and it's just one of those things, like, I'm sure it wouldn't be that bad, but because it's the last one, of course, it feels like it's the hardest.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, oh, gosh, it's never going to get there.
I put I made Culinarian my last crafter level, and that was a bad idea.
Culinarian's just so many ingredients. Like, how do I keep track of all this space. Stuff? I have no inventory space already from trying to level everything else up. Yeah,
each main recipe is like 6 items each.
Yep.
And then some of them you have to craft before you craft it, and it's like.
I think I got to 50 by grinding out Rollinberry Lossy. I could have supplied all of Limsa with Rollinberry Lossy.
Before that, isn't it like Rollinberry Cheesecake or something you do before that? That you grind out. I think it's like a couple of levels before that. It's just like, well, the world is now flooded with cheesecake and lassi. Is this such a bad thing? I don't think it is.
I mean, it is it's a holiday. It's hatching tide. It's like, hey, this is kind of seasonal. Or, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and pretend it is anyways.
You know, it's not chocolate, but it's cheesecake and everything else that has a load of sugar in it. So can we call it good?
Yeah, yep. I know, exactly. So other than that, I've also been kind of working on leveling up some of my discipline of magic and discipline of war classes. Primarily, I'm working my way through all of the healers right now. And I was actually doing a trial roulette the other day. And it was Bismarck. Bismarck has been really interesting. Every time I get there, I always kind of groan a little bit. And this one was definitely groan-worthy because, like, right away, the other healer just gets, like, punted off of the island.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I'd love to try to heal this all by myself on Astrologian, which I'm still kind of not 100% familiar with. And I'm doing my best. I'm trying to heal everybody. I'm trying to keep the tanks up. And at one point, I think a couple of our DPS died, and I'm trying to raise them back up and meanwhile heal the tanks. And I'm doing this all solo. And I get, our Dragoon up. And I'm sorry, but it's always the Dragoon.
That was your first mistake.
I get the Dragoon up, and I look over, and I see that the tank, his hit points are dropping. So I slap a heal towards his direction. And before I'm even done with that, the Dragoon is down again. He comes back with his salt. It's like, oh, thanks. Raise me up, and don't follow up with the heal. Bye, I guess. And it's just so much salt.
It's like, listen, girl, bye. Like, the tank is way more important than your backflipping ass. How about you just backflip off of the island and we'll continue the rest of the trial without you? Like, I'm sorry. Like, goons get really salty.
Oh, yeah. Like, everybody else that came to my defense, it was really actually kind of nice. They're like, hey, dude, she's been, like, healing solo this entire time. Give her a break. And even I was like, you know, I didn't want to get, like super salty myself. I was like, no, I was healing by myself. You know, let's try to keep things civil here. It's just, you know, it's just a game. We ended up wiping and having to start over anyways. And the second time around, the other healer stayed up. So it was great. And we made it through. Everything was great. I exit the trial. And I got 5 commendations.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Not just for solo healing, but for putting up with crap.
I was like, yeah, but I was so civil about it too, even though I got salt. So that was actually like the highlight of the past couple weeks because I've never seen 5 commendations all at once. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You are way less than vindictive than I would have been. I would have been like, okay, here's some rescue. I'm going to use this every single time you try to do anything. You want to get on Bismarck's back? Nah, here's a rescue. I'm just going to pull you back over here. Come in for some gold.
You're going to queue up Blood of the Dragon? Rescue.
Bye.
Ouch.
Lost your sex.
Don't do that to a monk.
We here at Into the Aether do not advocate such vindictiveness.
Okay, but sometimes people need leashes.
Okay, Anki, it's your turn.
Okay, as for me, my world, like, the past week or so has kind of been getting all of my alts through Hatching Tide, because you know, like, the quest initially, like, to get the coat is quite a short one. And I was like, oh, this is short and sweet and it's easy. And then you get to the second one, and I was doing this with a friend at the time, the first time around. I was like, what the hell is this hot mess? What is this thing? Like, eventually I got it, but it was like 15, 20 minutes of trying to puzzle this thing out. And I was like, please let this hell end. And then eventually I saw the name and I was like, I hate everything. This is awful.
So did you actually work it out on your own?
I did, yes. I did not go and look up hints, which is apparently what everybody else did, and apparently it saved them like half an hour, and I'm just like, maybe I should have just done that and not done the right thing. Maybe I should have just cheated.
I tried working it out. Like, I was like, okay, so there's three A's, there's two B's. How does this work? And I was like trying all kinds of weird things. And I think that went on for about 15, 20 minutes. I'm like, you know what? This isn't working. Like, I was even trying to follow the direction that the A's were pointing.
Yeah, pretty
much.
And I
was like, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to have to admit defeat. And I went ahead and I looked up the solution on Reddit.
Oof.
I know. I would say that I'm ashamed, but, you know, that's a 2 hours of my life that I didn't lose.
Mm. It's 2 hours of my life I couldn't get back. I mean, I went and did it on all of my alts, which is a few. And then after that, it was grinding a lot of MGP to try and get all of my alts ready for, you know, getting the car and everything. And it turns out the hairstyle is like, I think it, well, the hairstyle and like miscellaneous gubbins that you can get from the event is like an additional 30k MGP. So I'm just like, this is a little bit off my initial estimate, so I'm a little bit behind on all of them, and I'm still grinding MGP, but hopefully I'll get there. I haven't actually done the event yet. Like, I haven't. I've just been preparing for it. I haven't even touched it.
Yeah, don't forget, if you are in an FC, you can get the free company buff.
Oh, yes.
That's to increase the amount of MGP you earn if your free company is nice enough to let you use them for that buff.
That's okay. That's okay. But, I'm one of the FC leaders in my FC, so yeah, I'm just like, we're putting this buff on now. I'm sorry. If you wanted to earn XP for your classes, not today, son.
We only have a certain amount of time till the event ends. We can get the XP back before Stormblood, or before Shadowbringers.
Yeah, it's either we sacrifice your EXP, sorry guys, or we sacrifice the reduced rates. And everyone was just
Mama
like,
"Mama needs a new regalia."
Everyone was just like, "Nah, keep reduced rates on. Like, we don't want to have to pay 999 gil every time we want to go to Kagane."
Oh yeah, that's a bit rough. So, alrighty, I got my regalia, and I admit, since I got that, I started flying around like the locks, and it was fine. Of course, like I couldn't help like as I was flying around, I had like like, I'm sorry, I'm going to date myself, but I had, like, the theme song from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
Why?
And I was like, why does this not have a horn action? I want to, nice. Honk my horn in midair, but alrighty. So, kind of moving on, we have some news. The Final Fantasy XIV Shadowbringers promotional site has been updated. If you haven't checked it out in the past couple of weeks, I definitely would check it out now. We have some new lore regarding the Viera, also Gunbreaker, Hrothgar, a lot of interesting little tidbits regarding each of the new jobs and races, and even some as far as about the different locations. So have either one of you guys checked it out yet?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I took a look at the races.
Yeah, some of the lore sounds really interesting, especially like the Hrothgar, as far as where they're talking about. I think it was like the Hellions or something like that, as far as how they're like really devoted to their queen. And the only thing I was disappointed with is I love Final Fantasy IX. It's one of my favorites. I wanted the queen to be named Beatrix. So because I love Beatrix. She was one of my favorites. But, you know.
Maybe like, they're planning on using her for something else.
I can only hope. That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if she ever comes about, she's going to probably end up in Ishgard or something like that.
Probably. That seems thematically appropriate for her.
Yeah. So, also, as we talked about earlier, we have the Final Fantasy 14 and 15 crossover event, A Nocturne for Heroes. It began earlier this week on April 16th and will be ending on May 27th. So you have, as of right now, a little bit over a month to actually get that all done.
Do your weeklies.
Do your weeklies. Do your fashion report. Even if you just show up in whatever you have on that day, you still get 10,000 MGP. It's worth it. It's worth the trip. I try to get, like, the 80 every week just because, like, getting the 50,000 is actually really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I showed up in Rose's outfit, and he told me I was crap. So I was like, you know what? I'm not doing this again. You want to be shady about it.
I wore it better. But you didn't have the mask. That's a problem.
That's true, but he's wearing it. He's cross-class, and when he shouldn't be, he was wearing a healer mask. I'm calling shenanigans. I'm telling you that now.
He's Rose. I mean, he just breaks all barriers. So, with that event, we have the four-person regalia mount, which if you haven't heard us talking about it so far, you haven't been listening very closely. You can purchase that from the Gold Saucer for 200k MGP. You also have Noctis's hair, which I believe is 30,000 MGP.
Yeah, 30,000 MGP.
Mm-hmm. You have Noctis's outfit, which you get the different pieces as you progress through the quest. And then also a triple triad card and various equestrian rolls, which I've heard a lot of people raving about the orchestrian rolls because it's music from 15.
Yeah.
Which if you're looking for a change of pace from the normal 14 music, you definitely want to get those. I believe that you actually get the tokens to buy those by doing the fate that you start out with at the beginning of the quest line. Is that correct?
I think so, it's currency. Yes,
the orchestrian rolls are, you get the fate drops. Those are what you turn in to get those rolls. So, I think you only have to do the fate 3 times and you'll have enough pieces to get all the rolls available.
Yeah, pretty much.
So maybe about a half hour and you got a bunch of new music for your orchestrion.
Mm-hmm.
So well worth it. Also coming up, I would say next week, Monday and Tuesday, we have the North American Data Center reorganization. Servers will go down on April 22nd and are expected to come back on April 23rd. So, and just so for a refresher, April 22nd is a Monday. 23rd is a Tuesday, normal reset day. Free world transfer will also be available from Tuesday, April 23rd to Monday, May 6, 2019. All characters in the North American data centers will be eligible, and characters that were created on or recently transferred to preferred world will not be able to utilize a free transfer if the 90-day cooldown has not elapsed. So, there's some place that you're wanting to get to. Make sure that you transfer your character in that time. You know, maybe try to get a character in each one of the data centers. That way you can visit your friends. Highly recommend making sure that you get a character in the Crystal Data Center because you might have a chance to finally visit Balmung, which is awesome.
No, don't come to Balmung. It smells here.
She lies. Balmung's awesome.
It is kind of. It's okay.
You are like the worst real estate agent.
Okay, but if they keep coming over here, they're going to steal all the housing.
Honey, we don't have any housing anyway.
That's true. We don't have any housing left. It's all gone.
It's like, you can't steal what's not available.
That is true.
Alrighty. So, what about you, Croton? Are you going to be, like, transferring? Are you looking forward to the data center reorganization?
Yes, I do have So, I'm a victim of Altitis. I have a ton of characters and they're all in the wrong data center, so I need to move them around. And
so they're not in Crystal is what you're saying.
Old high five.
I technically have, so I made a character on Diablos during the time frame that A Stage Reborn was doing their show, I Want to Be Your Canary, so I made a character there so I could watch the show. But currently, that is the only character that will be going to Crystal, is the one I made on Diabolus. But I do want to add a couple more, and then try to move a character from Primal to Aether, a couple from Primal to another Primal server. It's going to be fun. I'm going to have to take notes and make sure I know where everyone's at.
Yeah, do like a spider diagram of where everybody's ended up.
Where my characters are all at. It's like, if you want to visit him, he's here for this amount of time before. It's like, I am the new active time event. Like, just
well, where's Croton going to be next?
I'm trying to find me on the server.
We're going
to
data mine. Like, everybody's going to be pinging you, like, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? And you're just going to be like, you're just going to have to find out.
That's actually, you know, instead of where in the world is Carmen San Diego, it's going to be where in the world is Croton.
Do we get prizes for finding Croton? Because nobody's going to do this timed event if we don't get rewards.
If you don't get rewards, well, we'll think about it. I'll think about it. I got to check the budget. We'll see.
If you find him, you get a fabulous lore tidbit. Absolutely.
Yes, yes. a unknown fact of Eorzea that you will enjoy.
I think that's a good deal.
That's legit. Yeah, I would do that. I don't want to create alts on every single server in the game, but I do kind of feel like maybe I should move around a little bit just to see if I can get all those juicy lore tidbits.
So just kind of to recap that, you know, so we're going to have free character transfer from April 23rd to May 6th, 2019. Make sure that you really consider where you are transferring your characters to before you initiate that. Because again, once you transfer your character to certain servers, you're going to have a cooldown, especially if you transfer to a preferred world. You're not going to be able to transfer again for 90 days, which is going to way go past like May 6th. So if you go to prefer a world, you're going to be stuck there. So make sure you know where you're putting your people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can't transfer to congested worlds. Like, those will still be locked off.
I believe the preferred world, you'll know the difference between preferred world and one that's not on the character creator, because those worlds have stars on it.
Yep.
Okay.
So just avoid the starred worlds and you'll be good to move characters as long as you can.
Unless you really want to go there, then, you know, hey.
The buffs... I will say the buffs are nice. Preferred world buffs are nice. I actually got a character to like level 30 in like a day using all the available buffs that they give you.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. You do a preferred world to get one transfer. That's it. You're stuck. And then if you do standard worlds, you can keep going as much as you need. So I would do all the standard ones first before you jump your preferred world one. Yeah.
And maybe something make like a level one character there first, just to kind of like, you know, dip your toe into the pool.
Yeah, make some placeholders just in case you decide, well, actually, I don't really like it over here. So maybe I just want to go back to where I was before. If you have a placeholder there, then it'll be much easier to move around.
One more note real quick. There's also the chance that preferred world status will be taken at any time.
Yep.
Yeah. So it may not be as great as it looks, because that's happened to me before. I made a character on a preferred world, and the very next week the buff was gone. So make sure to watch that out.
Always greener.
Yeah. I know, like, for example, on Zalera, I just had a friend recently transfer from another game into Final Fantasy 14, and she asked me, like, you know, what good servers would be there to make a character on, and I, you know, she's a role player, so I told her Zalera, like, unfortunately Balmung is locked right now, but Zalera is going to be in the same data center as Balmung. So she's like, oh, it has preferred status, it'll be great, I can go there, get the buff, get a house. Next day, she, like, messaged me over Discord, she's like, I thought this was supposed to be a preferred world. I'm like, well, yeah, it is, do you still have the buff? She's like, yeah, but I had a queue to log in there. And so apparently some of the servers have been picking up in population. And she said that, you know, she, I think she was struggling to try to find a house there also. So
yeah, because people are preparing to move, like, based on what data center they're going to end up in. So servers like Zalera are seeing a pickup in population because people want to be on Crystal, or people want to be in this, that, the other data center. So they're filling up the smaller servers knowing that they can visit the bigger ones.
You know, but the thing is, I'm surprised that they're doing that now, not waiting for the free transfer. Because,
impatience?
I mean, I guess maybe they're like, they don't want to compete with other people for things like housing and stuff.
Yeah,
like
if you get your foot in the door, like, preemptively, then you don't lose out to the people who are going to be waiting and using the free transfer option.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's something to think about. So start doing your research now, because that is happening Monday.
Yep.
I know when the servers are down for 24 hours, I'm going to be like, I've never watched Daddy of Light, so I'm going to actually try to catch up on that. I'm going to watch it with a friend through Rabbit, so that'll be fun.
It's a very good show. It made me cry at the end, so prepare yourself.
Everybody keeps telling me it makes them cry, and I'm just like, you know, I don't want to cry.
Happy cry. It's a happy cry. It was a happy cry for me. I think the big thing that really got me was just seeing how Final Fantasy XIV affected a real life situation, and it affects regular circumstances as much as just anyone else. And it was just like putting yourself in that situation and seeing that, and then like the end result, it was like, oh, you know, like the heartstrings were tugged pretty hard there, but it's a good cry. It's not like you won't cry in sadness, I promise.
Okay, maybe I should do that instead of catching up on the Marvel movies, because due to spoilers, I know how that ends up.
No. Yeah. That one. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say that everybody dies.
No, which is why I didn't say anything. I was like, look, some people don't want them spoilers, but I know some bad shit happens at the end.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, way back when, spoiling Titanic, it's like the boat sinks.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, really? Like, I've actually had a friend, I remember, like, I told her that, and she's like, really? I'm like, seriously, did you never, like, crack open a history book, ever? Anyways. So we're going to go ahead and get on to our main topic, which is going to be an MSQ retrospective. We're going to go through A Realm Reborn, Heavensward, and especially take a little bit of extra time to focus on Stormblood. So that's one of the reasons why we have our lore expert here, Croatone, just so that he can correct us on all of our misconceptions, because I know that there's some things that I don't gonna remember be a lot. 100%.
I'm so sorry, Croatone.
I'm a tin hat theorist, so yeah, there's going to be a lot. I'm going to trigger you, I'm sure.
Nah, don't worry about it.
So, kind of let's start with A Realm Reborn. This is kind of like the really formative years of our Warrior of Light. When you kind of start out as just average Joe adventure.
Doing everybody's, like, shopping for them and cleaning their houses and basically, you're not the warrior of light, you're the errand boy of light, or the errand girl of light, or the errand something of light, I don't know.
The errand person of light.
Yeah, the errand person.
The errand person of light. With the exception of, like, the edit quests, which is like, oh, congratulations, you actually got to be an adventurer. Oh, because you did such a good job, other people decided to take after you, and they died.
Yeah.
Way to go. Ooh.
Now you get to attend a really creepy wedding that isn't actually really a wedding. Please enjoy all of these creepy-ass mobs. And I'm just like, fly-blown failure? Spare lungs? Spare soul? The
Did you
hell?
Read the blood on the wall, though, for that dungeon?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Oh, goodness. Like, it's literally, she's talking in the blood, and it's creepy. Ugh. It's the worst.
The thing is I want to argue, where is that option in the eternal bonding ceremonies?
Oh, no. Why? No.
Please, no.
Can I marry a void scent, please?
There are some people who would probably want to marry a void scent.
And you know what? And yes, no, this is probably it.
Yeah, there's somebody out there who's like, two-seated Avir head mount, sign me up. So yeah, you kind of start out as, like I said, average Joe adventurer. You're going around, you're learning a little bit about the problems of whatever city-state that you start in. For instance, you kind of have the issues with the elementals in Gridania, which is one of my favorite city-states. I think then also you have the issues with the Sahagin in Limsa, and then I think it's the Monitorists and the
Royalists. Amalja
yep. So kind of standard, but you know, like, what was your favorite moments from A Realm Reborn, you know, and what do you think that we're gonna see, that what do you think is gonna be pertinent, especially as we kind of go into Shadowbringers?
So, I think, the big thing is, A Realm Reborn is, I feel like it exists in its own kind of, like, setting, so much as it does contribute to the overall story, but it was designed from, you know, the fragments of 1.0, and they made Realm Reborn so quickly, you know, they didn't have enough time to, you know, contribute as much as they do for the current expansions, but they did so well with what little time they had. And there's these, like, little, you know, small things that you notice that kind of give A Realm Reborn its own flavor as content versus, you know, the other expansions. And so I definitely say one of my favorite things, you know, you get to pick your city state, and when you pick your city state, you get a separate quest. And so this quest is unique to yourself, depending on your choice. You know, if you start in Uldah, you have to deal with the Sultana's Crown, theft of the Sultana's Crown. You have to figure that out. If you're in Limsa Luminsa, you have to protect a city or a village. You protect one of the villages from pirate raids, which is really cool. And then in Gridania, you figure out the whole thing with the Chocobo Egg. And It added a very personal element to myself as, you know, someone who likes to get really immersed into settings to, you know, have options on backstory. You know, most games that you start off, most story-driven games always give you one backstory. You know, you start off with that character, the main character, and that's it. You know, you're that main character that already has an established backstory, and you go on with it. But with The Realm Reborn, you had three options, and you could change it up, you know, and, you know, start a new character, start a new backstory. And it was just, I found that really, really cool that they gave you the opportunity to pick a backstory for the character you were going to play from that point on continuing. And kind of just see how those contribute to the future of the choices you make, you know?
And just how you feel as well, because I know a lot of the people I've talked to over the course of playing the game for a few years, they're all really attached to the city-state they started out in. They have really mm-hmm. fond memories of it. It's like, oh, I played my first class here. I went through, you know, all of the story quests. And, you know, it's nice seeing that level of attachment on an immersion, from an immersive sort of perspective, like you were saying.
And, you know, even now, so my first account was, I started in Ulda. And even now when I hear the song To the Sun, they actually, so any time I walk into Thanalan or even on Final Fantasy 15, you can get To the Sun for the Regalia. I put that song on there and it's so nostalgic. It brings back, you know, my memories of starting as a level one adventurer and, you know, trying to discover the world and figure how things work. And it's just, it's nice. It's very good. It's a
fuzzy feelings.
Yeah, you get really good feelings from just seeing how far you've gone and how long you've been with this growing concept that they get better and better at, you know, as the time goes on. And but it's just, that's the thing, you know, that song, the song that it starts off with, the narrator's deep voice describing the city state to you. It just, those little things just really provide A Realm Reborn a very distinctive, like, flavor as a, you know, as a opening expansion. Because, I mean, it's technically the beginning for most people, but for some it's not. You know, it's, for some it's their, they all started with 1.0, and then A Realm Reborn was a promise to keep. You know, it was to apologize for all the problems that 1.0 presented, and to give them a second chance.
Yeah,
you know,
they wanted to do better.
They wanted to do so much better for the people that stuck with it. And I feel like, you know, if I was someone who stayed with 1.0, I didn't get the chance. But imagining myself in those shoes, I feel like A Realm Reborn did deliver that to the 1.0 players, the promise that they were going to do better from now on, and they weren't going to force them to have to deal with what they had to deal with back in the day. Those, you know, infinitesimal bugs and, you know, just constant issues. But, you know, that's what's really cool, is that they wanted, they were catering to two separate audiences at this point, the ones that had stayed and the ones that they wanted to join in. And it was really cool, really powerful to see that.
Yeah, I played 1.0, at least part of it. I didn't finish it out, so. But I played it as I threw A Realm Reborn, and I definitely, like, the story was good. I like how you were, like I said, you were kind of still average Joe adventure, even mm-hmm. though you did kind of get the echo. The one of my favorite things about A Realm Reborn was you weren't necessarily the Warrior of Light yet. You weren't this big hotshot.
You grew into it.
You grew into it. So it's your origin story, and that's what I really mm-hmm. love. However, like, you brought up 1.0, one of my least favorite things about A Realm Reborn. I remember from 1.0, one of the things that actually I really thought that was interesting regarding the story was the conflict between each of the city-states and the local beast tribes. And how it was definitely, like, kind of a gray area story. Like, yeah, we had this conflict, and initially you think, oh, beast tribes are so bad. But then you kind of get into it, and, you know, depending on the story, some of it is, we're encroaching upon, like, you know, their hatching area.
Yeah, we've kind of, we've genuinely been kind of, like, dickish to some of the beast tribes. Like, yeah, they, by the same token, they have some real nasty characters in, like, their roster. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, maybe we could be better. Maybe we shouldn't be really nasty about this. Maybe we shouldn't push them off of that, like you said, you know, Dylan, the hatching grounds. Like, this is their sacred spawning grounds. And we're just like, nah, we don't want you. This is our land now. It's like,
sorry, we need a new subdivision. We need a new ward for the mist. So, yeah, sorry.
You're going to punch that out of it.
We're just going to colonize that, okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Good.
The thing is we've lost that conflict in that gray area between 1.0 and the Realm Reborn. We don't really have that. It's kind of hand-waved. The only time that I've seen, and kind of like calling back to something in a recent patch, the only time where I've seen that kind of come back and where they've mentioned that was recently in the last MSQ patch, or actually the one before last, where you're sitting down and you're talking with the Emperor, and he's kind of calling you out like, are you really the good guys? Are you really as pure as you think? And he starts just kind of listing off all these different things.
And then he does the one race thing and you're just like, okay.
Nope.
Varus. Yeah. Go away.
But the thing is, and that's the first time where I've seen that kind of like that moral gray area come back. And I'm kind of hoping to see a little bit more of that in Shadowbreakers.
Yeah, outside of the Beast Tribe quests themselves. Because inside of the quests, they do kind of say, well, you guys kind of have been really shady to us. Like, yeah. You've not been the best. Like, you've done this, you've done that. So, like, maybe you can help us out, like, a little bit. And with the I mean, it's not really a thing, it's a mechanical thing, but I feel like winning over the Beast Tribes in A Realm Reborn is such a long road. I don't feel like it's a short-term thing, like with the Heavensward Beast Tribes or the Stormblood ones. I feel like it's a lot longer road, and I feel like that kind of fits thematically because there's so much more ground to cover there, but I do hope that they kind of go over that in the storyline, because I think having the Beast Tribes as allies would be pretty cool.
It would be interesting to see that actually becoming more, like, currently relevant, the fact that, you know, for those people who actually went out and worked with those Beast Tribes, so. Any other comments regarding A Realm Reborn?
Mimphilia sucks. I'm just gonna do this. Like, we've already talked about my salt towards Mimphilia. I have mixed feelings about her coming back in the expansion, but that's neither here nor there. I'm so glad we do not have to deal with her calling us up on a link pearl or not calling us up on the link pearl and just being like, I need you to come back to the Waking Sands for 5 minutes for a conversation. And then she's like, okay, you can go now. And I'm like, is that really what the hell you call me all the way back here for?
You know that there's going to be at least one quest where they are going to troll you.
They make the joke.
Return to the Waking Sands.
Prithee, return to the Waking Sands. At which point, I turn around to you, say, Dylan, I love you. I love you, but I can't do this anymore. And I click the unsub button. I'm just like, I'm done. I'm sorry. She's my least favorite part.
You'll make it through. I believe in you. So, actually, like, one of the things that you brought up, Kuroten, is the fact that much of A Realm Reborn is kind of, like, you know, pulling together whatever pieces that they had from 1.0 and trying to reshape it into, you know, a new story, a smoother story. That changes definitely towards the end, where you kind of start going, and you start segueing towards Heaven's Word. You have the whole...
that patch content.
Yeah, you have a lot of the intrigue with the Sultana... And, you know, ultimately, then, of course, like, her poisoning.
The Bloody Banquet.
Crystal Braves.
Yep. Which, actually, I thought were all very interesting. And even with the Crystal Braves, like, you know, I love the fact that actually that was part of what led into Stormblood. But kind of getting ahead of myself. But, yeah, you actually get to see where they're starting to shift gears as far as the style of storytelling that they're going to do going forward in Heavensward. So, you know, what do you have to say about that? What do you think? And how it leads into Heaven's Word.
It was really interesting because, so, there's a lot of elements that kind of, you know, lend their own voice to the situation. But I remember distinctly my first impressions when I started playing the Bloody Banquet was, how dare they? You know, just like, I'm so mad. the accusation leveled against you, and most of it. So you actually find out, now this is, I'm going to like subtly advertise for Square Enix. this is where...
Not sponsored.
Yeah, not sponsored. But so in the Chronicles of Light book that just came out, it comprises all of the short stories that were released in the website. And they actually released a couple from A Realm Reborn, and there's the Realm Reborn ones, there's the Heavensward ones, and there's one that specifically talks about, you know, it's a point of view of the Sultana talking about how when she woke up and how she explained, you know, she was told what had happened and how bad she felt that whole thing happened because she tried to make a power move government wise without the consent of the other members of the syndicate. And so she blames herself for what happened to you. And so there's that voice, you know, you get that part of it. And then they take the opportunity to go over, you know, Harshafant, how he went out of his way to try to get you to Ishgard. They have his point of view of that. And I think over time, that event, as it plays through, when you first play through it, it's in your perspective, what you're dealing with as you're going through that. But you eventually find out how everyone else felt, and it just creates this amazing picture of, like, you know, despite the fact all the good you can do, there are still bad people out there who will, you know, try to take you out, take you down, and bring you down a notch.
Yeah, what you're doing doesn't necessarily align with what they want. So they're just going to be like, mm-hmm. well, we need to get this guy out of the picture and us into the foreground.
And you've saved, you know, at this point, you've done most of the Realm Reborn quest, so you've defeated all the primals. You are the Icon Slayer. You stopped Ultimate Weapon in its tracks. You've done so much for Eorzea, and just the ambitions of a very rich man managed to still get you in trouble. And it's fascinating to, like, get into the deep parts of it, of how the intrigue, you know, Taleji Adeleji was trying to acquire Omega. You know, that was his main purpose behind all of that, and he wanted to, you know, take over the government as a result, because they weren't letting him, you know, do what he wanted to do with Cartano and all that. And it just brings all these points back from, like, the original, you know, story. It brings back Cartano and what happened there, what's going on with there, and so on. But they did a very good job in summarizing, even though as a hero there are still, you know, opportunities for you to get in trouble, get hurt, and you need to, I guess, be aware of that. And just, you know, don't rest on your laurels as an adventurer. Don't rest on your laurels as an Icon Slayer, because you always have to find, you know, there's always going to be a new threat rising up. And sometimes it's just as simple as petty greed
that gets a person to
do bad things. Yeah, you just have to constantly keep your wits about you, even as the Warrior of Light. And that was just a really cool kind of, like, back down to the ground moment. Take away everything you've gone through and puts you back at the start, and then you rise back up. I mean, they literally do that with Midgar Stormer. You know, he takes your Blessing of Light away, and all of that's happening all at once. And it's a pretty dark moment for the Warrior of Light in that few couple of patches. You know, losing out so much in so little time.
I feel like it's good that you get to eat humble pie at that point, though.
Yeah, a lot of humble pie.
Until that point. So you need a big old slice of humble pie. Mm-hmm. While you're at it, just eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
And with that, guys, we will have to save the rest of this for the next podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this, and we're going to continue on next time. But until then, guys, we wish you all a wonderful eve.
AetherStream is part of AetherFlow Media, a community-based project with a focus on Final Fantasy XIV. Aside from this podcast, we produce web content and our magazine, Aetherflow. And if you like what you see and hear, consider joining our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/aetherflowmedia. All funds go towards providing you with the best possible content that we can create.